Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you. It's good to see you and to welcome those who are visitors. We also welcome members and friends of the baptismal family. Welcome too to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 103, fill your hearts with joy and gladness. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the source of joy and gladness. In power you created heaven and earth, and in love you gave us your Son, that accepting him as our Saviour, we may be set free from that which grieves you and live lives that are pleasing to you. For your goodness and mercy, we thank you. For times and seasons, we praise you. For Christ our King, we worship you. Eternal God, you determine the number of the stars and call them each by name. We come before you, aware that our lives are like an open book to you. We cannot hide from you those things we hide from others, nor can we project an image that portrays us as someone other than we really are. Eternal God, we rejoice that your grace is such, despite our waywardness, you accept us, and you look upon us as your own. Forgive us then our faults and failings, and grant us strength that turning again to you, we may walk in faith and with joy the path you have set before us. Almighty God, as the psalmist declared, you are worthy of praise. Bless this time of worship, and knowing that you are near, let it be for us a hallowed hour. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Just one or two intimations to draw to your attention. There'll be a further time of fellowship in the parish halls following the service today, and the halls are the first building on your right as you go down the road from the church. So it'd be good to see you there for a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit. That's after the service. Once again this year, we're supporting the Blythewood Care Christmas Shoebox Appeal, and leaflets are available in both vestibules of the church today, and individual donations or filled shoeboxes should be left at the church by the 29th. So that's not far away, 2 weeks from today. So I do commend this most worthy appeal to you. Volunteers to help tidy the church grounds and the surrounding area for the final time this year are invited to gather at the church on Tuesday at 1:30. Hopefully it will be another fine day then. So that's Tuesday at 1:30. A joint church coffee morning to support Christian Aid and the great work that Christian Aid do will be held in Park Church Hall on Saturday beginning at 10, and donations of baking will be welcome, and tickets are available today and can be purchased from Elaine Walker in the main vestibule of the church after the service. Now, there's a certain anniversary in November, hard to believe, 25 years since my induction as your minister. Of course, I was very young when I came, and I'm still young. But the Kirk Session have very kindly agreed that there will be a lunch following the service on the 19th of November, and that is the actual date of my anniversary. So it will be a very special day indeed. And tickets for the lunch are available today and on the coming Sundays in the McMichael Chapel. I think these are all the intimations, and now we'll hear the Word of God.
Today's readings are taken from the book of the New Testament. The first reading is taken from the book of Philippians, pardon me, at chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, and it can be found on page 177 of the Pew Bible. That's Philippians chapter 4 at verse 4. Hear the word of God. I wish you joy in the Lord always. Again, I say, all joy be yours. Be known to everyone for your consideration of others. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious, but in everything make your requests known to God in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Then the peace of the God, which is beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And now, my friends, all that is true, all that is noble, all that is just and pure, all that is lovable and attractive, whatever is excellent and admirable, fill your thoughts with these things. Put into practice the lessons I taught you, the tradition I have passed on, all that you heard me say or saw me do, and the God of peace will be with you. Our second reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, and it's on page 20 of the Pew Bible. from verses 1 to 14. That's Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like this. There was a king who arranged a banquet for his son's wedding. But when he sent his servants to summon the guests he had invited, they refused to come. Then he sent other servants, telling them to say to the guests, "Look, I have prepared this banquet for you. My bullocks and fatted beasts have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding." But they took no notice. One went off to his farm, another to his business, and the others seized the servants, attacked them brutally, and killed them. The king was furious. He sent troops to put those murderers to death and set their town on fire. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but the guests I invited did not deserve the honor. Go out, therefore, to the main thoroughfares and invite everyone you can find to the wedding." The servants went out into the streets and collected everyone they could find, good and bad alike. So the hall was packed with guests. When the king came in to watch them feasting, he observed a man who was not dressed for a wedding. "My friend," said the king, "how do you come to be here without wedding clothes?" But he had nothing to say. The king then said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot, fling him into the dark, the place of the wailing and grinding of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen." Amen.
Thank you, Christine. We're delighted that we have a baptism this morning, and so we're going to sing the baptismal hymn, the hymn 631, 631, "A Little Child, the Saviour Came."
Thank you.
Following October's baptism, we will sing the blessing, and you will find the words at hymn 796. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I will be with you always, even to the end of time." We also remember the words of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Then your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far away, to everyone whom the Lord our God may call." Friends, Christ is present with us in the sacrament. It is he himself who baptizes us, and by the Spirit of Pentecost, he brings us into his church. Baptism is a sign of dying to sin and rising to new life in Christ. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own. He washes us from sin and sets us free from the power of death. Here we know that we are made one with Christ crucified and risen, and are called to share his ministry in the world. In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. Though we cannot understand or explain it, we are called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a child. In baptism, October is assured of the love that God has for her, and the sign and seal of the Holy Spirit will be placed upon her. Alex and Hannah, in presenting your child for baptism, desiring that she may be grafted into Christ as a member of his body, the church, do you receive and accept the teaching of the Christian faith? Let us pray. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit upon us and this water, that October, buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life, and being born anew of water and the Holy Spirit, may she remain forever in the number of your faithful children, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, October is sound asleep. Do you think she'll remain asleep? Eh? Possibly. If you want to stand, that'll be fine. There we are now. Oh, there we are. Are you okay? Eh? There you are. October, Fable, Sloan, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. There we are. There we are. Oh, hey, you okay? Oh, there we are. Hey? Oh, there we are now. Is that better? It's better with a wee dummy, isn't it, today? Good, aren't you? Eh? It's amazing what a dummy can do. Eh? There we are. Eh? You'll know some of these faces there, do you? Eh? Oh, they're lovely. Lovely to have October baptised in the month of October, isn't it? Eh? There you are. There's some wee friends there. Eh? There you are. Oh, you're very good. Well, we give you back to Mummy, eh? There we are. That's good. There we are. That's it. October is now baptized into Jesus Christ. We receive and welcome her as a member of Christ's Church. Alex and Hannah, your child belongs to God in Christ. From this day, she will be at home in the Christian community, and there will always be a place for her. Do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to teach your child the duties and truth of the Christian faith, and by prayer and example to bring her up in the life and the worship of the Church? Friends, you represent the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you welcome October, and do you renew your commitment to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way, and to share with them the knowledge and love of Christ? Let us pray. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guard and guide October all her days. May your love hold her, your truth guide her, your joy delight her. Bless Alex and Hannah, that October may grow up in a secure and happy home, a home enriched by faith and sustained by prayer. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name, through that same Jesus Christ our Lord, who unites us as the one people, and who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. Now it's my pleasure to present October with this Bible and certificate, and in it there's also a bookmark which has a nice photo of the tower, and that's something that you're very familiar with because this family live in the shadow of the church tower in the house next door to the parish halls. And when I was visiting, I was just making sure that the ringing out of the bell and the tolling of the bell in the hour didn't disturb them. But I was glad they said not at all, the love to hear it. So delighted to present the Bible and certificate and flower as a token of our love and an assurance of the prayers that will follow October, all the days of her life. Let's welcome October into the fellowship of the church. Now, I'm sorry that due to the time of year, the Sunday club's on holiday, but I think October and our mum and some of the other young ones are going to go out and down to the house during the singing of the next hymn. But it's been lovely to have you, and we look forward to seeing you here again. We're going to sing the hymn 65, Jubilate, a good going hymn, and we'll sing it through twice. Jubilate, hymn 65. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, though you are higher than our highest thoughts, you are always near to us. Though you are greater than we can ever think or imagine, you have made yourself known in Jesus. Though we have been blessed beyond measure, still, you have more to give. God of grace, we bring to you our prayers for the world, and particularly today, we pray that your Spirit will encompass all whose lives are being torn apart by violence and death in Israel and Palestine. We have been horrified by reports and pictures on our television screens and in the newspapers. And we can only imagine what it must be like for those losing loved ones, their homes and their livelihoods, for the children, for those being held hostage, and for all living in constant fear. God of peace, bless the peacemakers and strengthen their resolve as they seek to bring about reconciliation. In that land that is precious to Jews and Muslims and Christians, let hatred be turned into love, fear to trust, despair to hope, oppression to freedom, occupation to liberation. And may the day come when peace and justice will be experienced by all. God of compassion, you are near to us, and you invite us to make our requests known to you. We pray for those matters that may be small in the eyes of the world, but are important to us. The responsibilities of family life and parenthood, the cost of providing for loved ones and running a home, the well-being of those dear to us, our places of work and recreation, of worship and relaxation. All these we put into your hands, O God, knowing they are also important to you, the one who loves us with a love that endures forever. Gracious God, you invite us to the banquet of your Son, and there is a place for all at your table. Fill us with joy through believing, and let us work to build up your kingdom, not only in the future, but now and in the course of our daily lives. These things we humbly ask and pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Christ is our light, the bright and morning star. Hymn 336. Is joy a word you associate with your faith and the church? Do you think it is a word people who have no connection with the church would use to describe those of us who are part of it? Would they say, "We are a people of joy"? We are all familiar with the caricature of the Scots Presbyterian as being a rather dour and joyless individual. And perhaps we can think of more than a few folk who fit that description. According to the scriptures, joy should be the hallmark of our faith and of our life as a church. But isn't it true that on occasion our faith does not enthuse us in the way it ought to? And the teaching of Jesus can seem more like a burden than something to liberate us and set us free. Thus, rather than exuding joy and knowing joy within, we allow ourselves to be weighed down by a sometimes imaginary list of do's and don'ts. Today's parable from the Gospel of Matthew compares the kingdom of God to a wedding banquet. Think, if you will, of weddings you have attended. Apart from being rather long affairs, with sometimes equally long speeches, varying in quality, were they not for the most part a time of celebration and a time of rejoicing in the love the bride and groom have for one another? That said, Jesus is how it ought to be for us as individuals and as a church, as people invited to the great King's banquet. There should be celebration and rejoicing. But alas, often such things are missing, or if they are there, they are there in small measure. And I wonder if that is because we fail to understand that faith is meant to lead to more than good behavior and a place in heaven. Instead, it is meant to lead to joyous living now, and to a life which, not being free from troubles, is nevertheless vibrant, and that knows deep within that peace which St. Paul described as beyond all understanding. In the parable of the wedding banquet, after the invited guests refused to attend, the king opens up his house to everyone his servants can find. They go to the highways and the byways, to those who never dreamt for a moment that they would ever be invited to such a feast. All, regardless of their station in life, are invited, and gladly they respond. But you recall how the king, on entering the happy event, saw a man there who was not appropriately dressed. And he asked the man, "How did you get here without wearing wedding clothes?" I recall one Saturday, a few summers ago, having a wedding in Dunblane at 3 o'clock. The weather had not been good for some days before the Saturday, but it was much better on the Saturday, and around lunchtime I decided I would cut the grass in the back garden of the manse. I proceeded to do so, and then I thought, well, the weather might change soon. I'll just go and cut the front grass as well. And I did so without checking what time it was. Well, cut the front grass, came in, and before I went to get washed and dressed and put on my clerical collar, I quickly looked at the clock, and my heart almost missed a beat. It was 20 to 3. Can you imagine how the bride and groom and the others at the wedding would have felt if I had turned up with my dirty garden clothes on to conduct the wedding? I don't think they would have been too impressed, and I'm certain I would not have featured in any photographs. The question the king asked of the man, not suitably attired at first, seems a bit harsh and unkind. After all, in the gathering were people from all walks of life. Some were good, and some were anything but. The king had opened his doors to one and all. Surely, it didn't matter what you wore. But of course, in his parable, Jesus was making a point not about the outer clothes that one wears. He was talking about something much more important: our attitude, our life. The man, not properly clothed, came because he was invited. And he was willing to eat the good things set before him. But in his heart, there was no love, either for the king or his son. My friends, we have been invited by God to the biggest and the best banquet of all. It is a banquet that celebrates life not only in the future, but now. The question is, are we ready and prepared to celebrate? Do we know the joy that is offered to us through an invitation that is not merited, but extended in love and with grace? How we live and treat other people, what we do with our time, talents, and money, shows our level of commitment and our awareness of our responsibilities to God and his kingdom. As we become more and more committed, we will discover that some of our old clothes, so to speak, aren't comfortable anymore. They just do not fit the occasion. It was Professor William Barclay who said this: to think of Christianity as a gloomy giving up of everything which brings laughter and sunshine and happy fellowship is to mistake its whole nature. It is to joy that the Christian is invited. But let's be honest. How can we know such joy when the world is as it is, and when troubles assail us on a personal level. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, a letter known as the letter of joy, has advice to help us. And of course, joy is different from being happy. Certain things make us happy, but not all the time. Eventually, the happiness goes. But the joy of the Lord is very different. It should remain, no matter what our circumstances. So very briefly, what does Paul have to say to help us? Firstly, he says this, the Lord is near. Isn't that wonderful? Shouldn't that ought to cheer us and lift our spirits? The Lord has promised to be with us, and he is. We know, if we're worried, how reassuring it can be to have someone by our side, even if they do not say a word, just to know they're there can make all the difference. The Lord is near. And then Paul goes on to say, do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. What is it that keeps us back? What is it that keeps us from being people of joy and failing to put on our wedding clothes? The Christian life is not a problem-free life, but God is near to us. And while he may not prevent bad things from happening, he will help us through them. But we need to tell him about them. And we do that not because he doesn't know, he does. But as we share our worries, our concerns, our anxieties with God, then we can experience that peace of which Paul spoke. And Paul also says this, and these are wonderful words. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Isn't there good advice there? We know what's happening in the world today, and it is bad. We know what goes on in the lives of certain people, and that concerns us. But my friends, there is much that is good in the world too. And there is much in life that ought to lift our spirits. But isn't it true that we have a tendency to dwell on the negative rather than the positive? 9 people commend us for doing something, 1 is critical, and it's the words of the one that is critical that we remember and focus on. Paul says, to know joy, the joy of the Lord, focus on that which is good. And finally, the apostle writes, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or whatever you have seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That was quite something that Paul said. Whatever you've seen in me, whatever you've received from me, put it into practice. My friends, can you think of someone you have known who has impressed you with their faith and Christian service? It may be a family member or a friend. It may be someone you remember from your early and formative years. Can I put it to you? We can learn from them and their example. We can put into practice what we observed in them and in their lives. And doing that will help us to be properly clothed for the banquet. That will help us to see that the Christian life is a life that is more than do's and don'ts. It is a life that's abundant, a life that shines and exudes joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I remind you that tea, coffee, and biscuits will be served in the parish halls following the service, and it would be good to see as many as possible there. Before that, our closing hymn, it is the hymn 449, 449, Rejoice, the Lord is King. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.